Today's reading is from the book of Isaiah. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up victory like walls and bulwarks upon the gates so that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let us join in prayer. Lord, you are the loving shepherd of your sheep. We know your voice. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. If we were to take a spiritual inventory of ourselves, what might that look like? To paraphrase the hymn, how would I know if it is well with my soul? You probably know some folks, as I do, who are somewhat oblivious to such things. They may attempt to fool either themselves or others into thinking that they have it all together. But rather than guessing or merely hoping, we might look for obvious things, such as the hallmarks of a Christian, the key characteristics demonstrated through love, faith, and hope, as well as through a life of service, humility, a pursuit of holiness, exhibiting behaviors such as love for others, and that famous list, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, often referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. These qualities are not merely external behaviors, but are rooted in a transformed heart and mind through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's take a brief look at them. Christianity with love is characterized by a love that extends to God and to others, even enemies, as exemplified by Jesus' teaching and actions. Paul would add that now there abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith. A Christian's faith is not merely an intellectual assent, but a trust in God that leads to obedience and action, including sharing the good news of Jesus with others. That's the part of the baptismal covenant as new members come into the church, promising to faithfully participate in the local congregation through their prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Hope. A Christian's hope is grounded in the promise of God's future kingdom and in the hope of eternal life with Christ. As one hymn states, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." The hope is not in ourselves, but in Christ himself. Service. Christians are called to serve God and others, demonstrating their faith through acts of kindness, generosity, and compassion, especially towards those in need. This is part of the life of servant leadership that Jesus himself modeled for his disciples and for all of us. Humility. A Christian's humility involves recognizing their dependence on God and avoiding pride or self-reliance. I heard about a fellow who was asked in a job interview what he considered to be his greatest strength. He responded, "My humility." It's genuine humility, though, mixed with controlled strength and even appropriate anger shown by Jesus. All of these combine to form meekness. Holiness. Christians strive to live lives that are pleasing to God, avoiding sin and seeking to reflect his character in their thoughts, words, and actions. The threefold mantra I often remind myself of is purity, light, and love. I'll say it again. Purity, light, and love. Want to say it with me? Purity, light, and love. Oh, man. And so the question, is it well with my soul? If that sermon title looks like a typo, I assure you it is not. It's a play, of course, on the title of the hymn the choir just sang an arrangement of, and what a great, well-known hymn it is. We sang it for Mr. Shelby Hill's funeral yesterday. It truly is a statement of faith. You may have heard the story behind that hymn. Horatio Gates Spafford, the one who penned those words, was an attorney and a businessman heavily invested in the real estate market in Chicago, that great city in the 1870s. In 1871, unfortunately, he lost many of his holdings in the tragic Chicago fire. He was able to slowly regain his footing somewhat, and in 1873, he and his beautiful family, a wife and four daughters, planned a trip to Europe. When it was time for departure, Spafford, as it turned out, was unable to travel with the rest of the family due to a business problem, so he told his wife to go on ahead with the girls and that he would catch up with them abroad via another ship as soon as he was able. A few days into crossing the Atlantic, their ship, the Ville du Havre, collided with a powerful iron-hulled Scottish ship, the Lough Erne. Suddenly, all those on board were in grave danger. Anna hurriedly brought her four children to the deck. She knelt there with Annie, Margaret Lee, Bessie, and Tanetta and prayed that God would spare them, if that would be his will, or to make them willing to endure whatever awaited them. Within about 12 minutes, the ship slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying with it 226 of the passengers, including the four Spafford girls. A sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down spotted a woman floating on a piece of the wreckage. It was Anna Spafford, still alive. He pulled her into the boat, and they were picked up by another large vessel, which 9 days later landed them in Cardiff, Wales. From there, she wired her husband a message, which... began, saved, alone. Mr. Spafford booked passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Spafford to his cabin and told him they were over the place where his children had gone down. According to Bertha Spafford Vester, a daughter born after the tragedy, Spafford wrote, "It is well with my soul on this journey. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The Spaffords later even endured the loss of a son, but gave birth to three more children. In August 1881, they moved to Jerusalem, where he died and was buried. How beautiful to reflect on Psalm 27:4. Might even make a great headstone. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." This word dwell here, the Hebrew word Yashav. David had prayed for the opportunity to sit, Yashav, in the house of the Lord. He wanted to do this every single day, all the days of my life. His purpose was to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Gaze, chazah, means to see, to perceive. Gaze. David believed that when he was in the house of the Lord, he was more spiritually perceptive. He could even realize all the more God's beauty. Beauty in Hebrew, that noun noam. It can mean favor or kindness. David wanted to see God's beauty and favor and kindness. He would have watched the sacrifices burning on the altar, which he knew were a pleasing aroma to the Lord, and sensed God's goodness and pleasure. I think it's safe to say that Horatio Spafford had found that it was indeed well with his soul, that it was in such a state of quiet confidence and with assurance that he could create such a beautiful expression thereof to literally share with the world. Millions and millions of Christians have been encouraged, blessed, and given renewed hope through these words. They echo, as it were, the sentiments expressed by the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The loving shepherd of his sheep, who both know his voice and listen for it, will guard our hearts and minds until the day of Christ Jesus. For as the scripture says, we pray not as those who have no hope, but we pray believing and trusting in the name that is above every other name, even Christ Jesus himself. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that shalom, shalom, shall keep your hearts, your minds, through Christ Jesus. In Isaiah 26, as we have heard, on that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up victory like walls and bulwarks, those defensive fortifications. Open the gates so that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Those of steadfast mind, you keep in peace because they trust in you. In these verses, there's a lot to be hopeful for, to be hopeful about. Isaiah 26:3, Yetzer Samuch Tzitzor. Yetzer means having an inclination, having to do with your mind. As we see in Genesis a couple of times, where we read that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. Yetzer Samuch, the idea of being planted, of being fixed, firm, a mind that is planted. Titzor means you will keep, you will protect, you will guard. And the doubling of shalom, shalom intensifies the word in Hebrew. It is perfect peace, the peace of all peace, a mind that is fixed on the Lord. God will keep in perfect peace. Why? Kibach, because in you, batuach, he trusts. So the gist of this is, if you're struggling with anxiety, fear, worry, according to the scripture, if you not only trust in the Lord, trust on who God is, and if your mind is stayed, your yetzer, your imagination is firm, God will keep you in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, because you trust in him. Psalm 27:1 reminds us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This carries over all the way from Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Finally, meet Maria Andrzejczyk, a Polish track and field star specializing in the javelin. She trained for 15 years and won a silver medal at the Tokyo Summer Olympics. Then she gave it up for someone she'd never met. The story, an 8-month-old baby in Poland, where she was from, needed heart surgery, and time was running out. Maria didn't hesitate. She put her Olympic silver medal up for auction. No press team involved, no big publicity campaign, just action. The bidding started. A Polish supermarket chain called Żabka won it, $125,000. But then they did something even crazier. They gave the medal back. Maria cried. The baby got the surgery. The medal stayed in Poland. In a world of sponsorships and selfies, one athlete chose humanity. Remember, sometimes the biggest throw isn't in the stadium. Selflessness can take on many forms. We saw a lot of it in the life of the late Pope Francis, which really demonstrated John Wesley's famous admonition, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. May Jesus continue to increase as we decrease. Then we can surely say, it is well with my soul. Amen. Let us pray. Gentle Shepherd, thank you for your patience with us. We, your creatures, your sheep, are so often stubborn, mindless, following after this or that distraction. Our enemy would make sure that we are given many of those opportunities. But we seek to hear your voice, to follow after your way. Lord, lead us, our Savior. We praise you, we listen, we follow. In Jesus' wonderful name. And together we say, Amen.